You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast, the home of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias. Edward, I dare say the biggest interview in the history of the show.
Comfortably.
The ferocious one, George Kambosos, ahead of the June 5 undisputed lightweight championship bout, Marvel Stadium. Available on Main Event via KO, punters and dribblers, make no mistake. George, welcome. Thank you very much for having a chat to us. How are you doing?
Absolute pleasure to be on, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great, feeling good and getting close to the big date, which is exciting because it's been a long, hard preparation. And as we get closer and closer, it's a good time.
I must say, you look good. Are you a believer in look good, feel good?
I am. You got to look good. You got to look the part.
Yeah.
And you feel good. And I'm when you feel good... Well.
Can you, off the cuff, rate how we're dressed?
Guys look all right. A nice casual look.
Yeah.
Not as good as I am at the moment, but that's a casual look.
Yeah. He's not impressed.
Well, we didn't want to upstage you.
No, I did think about it, but I opted against it.
Yeah, he said at home today, mate, should I wear a turtleneck? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know if this is the right vibe. I'm going to get bitched from the start. I'm going to look silly. Now, you're a rugby league fan. We are going to talk boxing, obviously, but we're rugby league fans as well. You're a Roosters fan.
I am a Roosters man.
Yeah. We're Manly fans. You know, don't hold that against us. We were just hoping to kick things off. You'd be prepared to admit that the 2013 Grand Final was a rigged event, or that maybe some referee calls.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to make that statement here today?
I'm not. I'm not going to make that statement.
Are you
but,
sure?
We had a good win against you guys earlier this year.
I disagree.
And I was there. I was watching the game live and. Supporting the boys, so it was good to see.
You didn't think Maloney's ball was forward, or Sonny's ball to Maloney?
No,
we didn't.
No, not back then. It was a beautiful ball, and went under the post.
Okay.
Well, look, we'll agree to disagree,
respectfully,
which is really a chore.
At the end of the day, it's the ones who's holding the trophy.
Well, that's so, it.
By any means.
Okay. Sure. We're not holding onto it or anything. For those that living under a rock, metaphorical or otherwise, last November you won. It's not the undisputed championship or lightweight champion. It's the unified, but technically it's the undisputed. It's a little confusing, I've got to admit, and often boxing with all the belts it can be. As you take on Haney, you both hold WBC belts.
Yeah,
look, just explain.
I got the super belt. The franchise belt was created as a super title, a title for the big name fighters, the guys who won't have any mandatories that slow the process of the big fights. Now the fans want the big fights.
Mm.
So in that process, the WBC franchise super title is a great concept because it allows the fans to get the big fights. Now in that process, a regular belt was created with Devin Haney getting it, not inside the ring, through an email, through whatever way he got it, because he was the interim. He had an interim belt. He was a guy who was close to getting a title shot, but wasn't there yet. But when this whole process was made with a super belt, he was given the WBC regular belt. So he became a world champion with never having the pleasure of actually doing it in the ring. Now, my belts that I own now have been passed on through champions. Vasily Lomachenko had the three belts, the WBC franchise, obviously the WBC regular belt at that stage, then it was moved to a franchise belt. He had the WBA super belt and the WBO. Lopez had the IBF. When they fought, Lopez shocks the world, takes all them belts. November 27th comes, I fight Lopez, I shock the world and take all them belts. So really, this is the undisputed. Plus, I have that beautiful ring magazine, which is the lineal champion.
Yes.
You're the top. Beautiful belt, a lot of pride in that belt. And I'm very humbled to have that belt. It's a dream of mine from a young kid.
On that belt specifically, we've had it tried to be explained to us a couple of times and it goes a little bit over my head. Can you explain what the lineal belt is and how you earn it?
So the lineal belt is a belt that is not a sanctioning body. You have your WBC, you have your WBA, you have your WBO and your IBF. Mm. The lineal belt is a belt created where they don't get any sanctioning fees. It is given to the true champion, the guy who they recognise as the top of the division. Now, there are some divisions that do not have the lineal belt given to one of the champions because they don't feel that they have the right to even hold that belt. This belt is given to the elite, the top guys, and I'm one of them, and I hold that belt, with a lot of honour.
Mm.
Tyson Fury, I know, has got one of the lineal belts. Yeah. So you're in elite class. I was reading somewhere that if you were to win, and we believe you will, June 5th, you'll be just the seventh fighter to win all the belts in division since they started a new class in 2004. Is that right?
Yeah, look, then we go back to this whole undisputed clause, you know, where I already won it. I already got the undisputed, but this is the way it's meant to be, is I get to do it again in front of my people, in front of Australia, to give them an event that they've never seen before. So really, this is the first in history when it's two-time undisputed in the same division.
Yeah, I like that.
So this is all history for me. And, you know, of course, you know, we'll go amongst officially for the 20% or 30% that don't agree, but for the other 60, 70%, I already am. Mm.
The win against Lopez, again, Eddie and I are not boxing historians, but certainly the greatest achievement from an Australian boxer in our time. Where does it sit? Is it the greatest achievement to you in the history of Australian boxing? That your win over
by far. This victory that I had against Teofimo Lopez was the greatest victory in Australian history. You got to look at the belts on offer. You got to look at who I fought, who I beat to take the belts. A guy who was the hottest thing in American boxing and world boxing, one of the biggest names in world boxing, in his prime, in his hometown, I had to do this. Against all odds, through so many postponements and adversities, I beat him. So they can't compare. And this victory, not only was the greatest victory in Australian history, it puts me as the greatest fighter in Australian history. Yeah. That's no disrespect to anybody. That's the facts, and if they don't like the facts, they can look at BoxRec and see the victories these other guys had compared to the victories I have had.
There was a lot of shit talked in the lead up to that fight between you and Lopez, and like it was clear to all there that he didn't respect you at all. Like he was talking a lot of shit about knocking you out in the first round. When you dropped him at the end of that first round, did you see the fucking smirk wipe straight clean off his face? Or?
It was a great moment, you know. But I visualised it. I seen that moment so many times. The actual commentators, maybe 10, 15 seconds before I threw that shot, said it, that Kambosos said he's going to hurt him, he's going to catch him early, and all of a sudden, boom. So this is something that I've seen for so many years. I see these victories, I see these moments. I said it so many years ago that I'll win my titles overseas and I'll come back and fight in a mega stadium fight, in a super fight in Australia, and here we are.
Yeah.
And I see that I'm going to beat Devin Haney bad. So,
When the title is your goal, right, and it's all you're thinking about, and when you're training for years before fights that aren't for the title, but that's always the end goal, you hear fighters say that, like, not all, but that, you know, maybe the feeling, didn't feel like you expected, maybe it felt better, maybe it didn't feel as good. Was there anything surprising about the feeling when you finally got it? Was it as good? Has it been...
Yeah, it was just a great victory. It was something that I knew, my small team knew, the people around me knew that we were going to achieve this. We were going to win this fight. So it wasn't a shock. It wasn't a one lucky punch.
No.
I had to go through 12 rounds. I had to go through my own adversity in round 10 to get that win.
Yeah.
So many other guys would have said, you know what, I've done enough today. I'll get my respect. I'll be in another big fight. Obviously, there'll be a lot of opportunities, but for me, it wasn't enough. I was willing to die. I was prepared to do whatever it took. And again, in this fight...
But walking around as a champ now, you're like, oh, yeah, this is as fucking awesome as I was expecting to be. Just having it,
Yeah, look, it's a great feeling, but I know how quick that feeling can go. So that's what puts me on edge. That's what keeps me sharp. That's what makes me continue to work harder and harder every day. Because ultimately, yeah, the belts are fantastic. They're great. The hardware, you know, the status is amazing, but it's for the passion and the love of the sport. I love the sport. If there was no belts on the line, no money on the line, like so many times in my career, I still fight. I still get myself up in the morning and put in the hard work. So the passion lies down of how much I love the sport. The belts are just there. They're the hardware. They're there to show that, hey, I am a world champion, but I knew many years before I ever held the belts that I was a world champion.
When did that feeling come about? Because, like, obviously, I know there's some stories around, like, at one point you have to pick boxing or footy, but when you take boxing seriously, when's the point where you're like, I'm gonna do it? How quickly or how easy is it to get that into your mind?
I think around 16, 15, 16, somewhere there is when it really set stone and I said, I'm good at this. I can be somebody. I can be a world champion. I can be at the top of my craft and do this, you know, day in, day out, that's where really sunk in, where I was having a lot of success, not only in my amateur fights, but in my sparring against guys that were really good professionals, guys that were on their way to fighting for a world title, while I'm only 16, 17, beating them up. Mm. So I said, you know what, my time will come. And I'm very patient. Things don't happen just overnight. This has been a 10-year journey in the professional ranks, let alone all my amateur fights. And this has been a long, hard journey.
Punters and dribblers, you know the drill. Good Day. Good Day Multivitamin is taking the world by storm. People are getting fucking blown away. Knickers and pantyhose getting blown clean off. This is the real deal. Mm-hmm. Selling like hotcakes. Word of mouth taking over. There's no bullshit about this. Okay, the latest fucking review. This is unreal. 5 stars. Good Day does everything it describes and more. I received my first batch when I was unwell, and it did a great job of getting me through the back end of each day when I started to crash. Tick. Some people may think there is bias if you are fans of the Hello Sport boys. But to disprove this, I convinced my wife to jump on board. She was amazed with how well it got her through the work days and improved her sleep. This will be at the top of the shopping list from now on.
There you go. And that's it.
There's no bias there, mate.
No.
That's just a wife, potentially a mother, trying to get through the day without crashing and wants to sleep well at night.
Obviously, you know, it's a you could say skew more male on this podcast. Maybe. I don't know if that's true or not. But this is not something where it's like, oh, this is a bloke's multivitamin. This is for everyone.
This is a multivitamin for human beings.
Yeah, this is a human
Homo sapiens. Yeah. You know why? Because we're all fucking deficient in shit because we don't eat properly.
That's right. And as I said earlier on, the energy is the most tangible, immediate benefit you get from Good Day.
And mental clarity.
And mental clarity. But there are many other health benefits that you get from there. Head to begoodhealth.com.au. You can find out everything you want to know about the product itself, and you can also get yourself some Good Day right now, whether it's just a one-off monthly just to try it out, or you can subscribe, begoodhealth.com.au.
And why not just read the 161 five-star reviews?
That's it.
161.
Make smart decisions. Take your nutritional health seriously. It's the least you can do. Punters and Dribblers, the podcast is brought to you by the best betting platform yarn around, and that is Neds. Get onto the Neds app. You're going to find the About Even Punting Group, our personal profiles, where I am hitting winners.
You're doing pretty well, Tom, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Shout out
to all the punters and dribblers who secured tickets to our live show with Guru, May 17th, Lefty's Music Hall, Magic Round, ready to rip and tear.
Sold out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it did. It did sell out in 2 seconds. Shout out to Neds for putting it together. If you're going to have a punt this weekend, punters and dribblers, you've got to do it with Neds, as simple as that, because they're the best in the business. You know what I'm saying? And what a weekend to punt on Anzac Day into just long weekend festivities. No one works on the Friday. No one's bothering to work.
No one's working on the Friday, mate. But what we are doing is we're having a good, honest rugby league punt. And you can follow along in the About Even group. Secret code is Dribbler to get in there. Or you can follow the profiles on the Neds app. All possible. All good things.
Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Been a lot of ups and downs. A lot of fighters, if they were in my shoes, gone through the journey that I've had to go through, probably would have thrown in the towel. But I stuck true to what I believed. I stuck true to how hungry I was for that situation, how hungry I am now as a champion to get to the top and to continue being the best.
I was looking at your boxing record in the lead-up to this interview, and it seemed to me at least that when you started sparring with Manny Pacquiao and you did, I think, 3 title fights with him, is that when you started getting noticed more internationally in the US and you started fighting on some of his undercards? Was that the thing that, like, sort of, you know, catapulted you a little bit?
Yeah, look, it gave me more openings, more doors where Manny's a legend. I was a part of that team. I'm sparring him as his main sparring partner. But ultimately, I had to put in the work. Mm. If I wasn't showing myself who I am and what I believed in and how good I was in the sparring sessions, then he would have sent me home. He would have said, no. First camp would have sent me home.
Yeah.
So I had to make it work.
But do you get a lot of belief from that, though? You know, so when you're in there with Manny and, like, you know, you're like, holy shit, it's Manny Pacquiao. But then when you are sparring with him, that much, you must have, like, I guess there would have been lessons you took from that, but also a lot of, like, I mean, you're already confident anyway, but, like, even more confidence from being able to sort of hang with him?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're in there with a legend, an all-time great, a guy who has done so much more than anyone when it comes to titles and divisions than any other fighter in the world and in boxing history, and you're mixing it with him day in, day out, you know that you are elite. You are there. It's just patient. It's your time. Your time will come. And he was saying it, that you're ready for a championship right now. You're ready to be world champion right now. But me being so patient and knew that it wasn't my time 100%, I wasn't ready 100%, I said, no, my time will come. It's not yet.
How does it work with sparring in a situation like where obvious, well, I assume when you are sparring with him, you are wanting to sort of go at him a little bit, but you're also, I get, like, is it a friendly relationship as well, but you're still sort of trying to towel each other up?
Look, that's the boxing. Yeah. You can be best mates, and I've got best mates that are fighting, and are fighting on June 5th, but when we step inside the ring to do sparring or we're doing anything, you know, tactical, we're going to go hell and leather. And that's what it was with me and Manny Pacquiao. Yes, we're running together, we're eating together, you know, we're talking and having a laugh together. But when we're in the ring, I'm there serving a job and he's trying to prepare to the best of his ability. So if I can knock him out or he can knock me out, so be it. That's the fight game.
Do you ever drop him sparring?
No, I never dropped him. I landed some very good shots, but yeah. He never dropped me, I never dropped him.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
And there was a lot of rounds, 250 rounds. And look, the respect I have for that man is... Yeah. He's second to none.
Do you keep know. In touch? Does he sort of...
I do keep in touch. And, you know, he's so, you know, happy of what I've achieved. You know, he put out a great message after my victory against Lopez. And obviously he was waiting to see if he would become president of the Philippines. Unfortunately, that's not the case. He's going to have to wait another few more years. So hopefully that opens up the door now for him to come back to Australia and, you know, be there present, be there ringside. To wow. watch me do the business against Devin Haney, so that is the word around town.
Really?
Well, I hope he's out here for it. We might even meet
him. We might have been meeting Manny.
Well, he might be a dear friend by the end of it. Is there one lesson you learnt from Manny that you sort of carry with you above others?
Yeah.
All others?
From the ring, there were so many lessons. From training, so many lessons. But more, how to respect people outside of the ring. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, the president or a most famous actor or a most famous sportsman or a homeless person walking on the side of the street. Everybody's human. Everyone is the same. You show that respect to everybody. And that's what I learned. That's what I saw firsthand from him, giving back and supporting his people. And that's what I'm trying to do the best of my ability, to support my people, to talk to everybody, to give advice and inspiration and motivation to everybody and show respect to everybody.
Sounds like he's a pretty good dude, old Manny. On to the fight with Haney. In the presser, I think it was to announce the fight, it just seemed like you were running rings around him in terms of, like, it wasn't even like it was like outrageous shit talk, but you could just see that he was biting on the things you were saying. I think you called him a kid at one point, and he's like, I'm a man, call me a man. And you're like, bro, that makes you seem like you're a kid. Just relax. Do you go in there with a plan to do that? Do you see a weakness in him and go, like, I reckon I can get him? Or is it just you're sort of flowing with it?
For the Lopez fight?
Sorry,
for the Haney fight, very easily got under his skin.
With
the Lopez fight, I got under his skin. You know, it took a little bit of working, not too hard. I got under his skin. But for the Haney fight, we're not even in the flesh. Mm. We're on a... You know, I'm there at Marvel Stadium. He's on a screen in Los Angeles. And all I had to do was a couple things.
Mm.
Just having fun, not even really intentionally trying to, you know, aggravate him.
Yeah.
If he wants me to really intentionally aggravate him and things that I'm going to put out there real soon, then, you know, if he's going to jump at little things, he's going to be, his mind's going to be blown. Because, you know, I'm very sharp with the mental warfare, getting into the minds of every fight I fight. And he's gone out and said that George's biggest thing is he gets in the mind of fighters. Well, it's not going to work for me. He won't get in the mind of his. Well, if he's going and telling the media already, I'm already in his head. You don't have to tell anybody.
Yeah. Have you ever had a fighter whose head you couldn't get in?
No, every fighter I've got into their head and I break them down.
What's, for those that maybe don't know much about Haney, like, what's his... What are his strengths, I guess, and how do you see the fight going?
Look, Haney is a good boxer, but he's not elite. You know, he hasn't been tested against a guy in his prime a champion in his prime, a guy that brings so much to the table. I'm faster than him, I'm stronger than him, I've got a better chin than him, my stamina condition is levels above his, my footwork is better than his, my defence is better than his. He gets hit a lot and he gets hurt a lot. Yes, I got put down in round 10 against Lopez, but that was my mistake. You look back throughout the whole fight, the sharpness, the movement. So they will find out the hard way, June 5th, like they all have. Mm. He's another king, supposedly. He will fall as well to the Emperor.
60,000 people expected at Marvel Stadium. It's like, Australians will be there, Greeks will be there, probably won't be many Yanks, thank God. But, like, are you pumped to fight in front of your own people? Like, what does that mean to you?
There will be a couple of Yanks, my coaches, yeah, because they're Yanks. But they're on my side. So, look, Devin's got to deal with the crowd. That's his problem. But at the end of the day, it's me and him in that ring. But the motivation, inspiration and the feeling I have to be back home after 5 years, to be fighting in front of my people, you know, the Aussies, the Greeks, and there's so many people coming in to support worldwide as well, support me. You know, it's going to be an amazing feeling. And I know it's going to lift me more and more, but I've got business to handle. It doesn't matter if there's one person in there or 60,000. I will handle business the right way like I always have.
Just before we let you go, a couple of quick ones. You were quoted in the media the other day. We found this very interesting, that you abstained from sex pre-fight, or at least you did Lopez and you are for this one. How are you going?
Yeah, look, I got three kids, so it's probably giving me a lot of help. But, yeah, I think it's been a little bit...
Blown out of proportion,
you know. Me and my wife, you know, we're good, so... Yeah, I don't want to embarrass too much.
Is it like a discipline sort of thing, though, for you when you're doing it?
Yeah, it's more a discipline, more, you know, dedication, things that we've always done in our career, and it's the 0.1% that you continue to do. There's so many things that I do to make sure that there are no stones ever unturned and we continue to, you know, have great success. And, you know, I'm 28, 29, you know, and coming in June, a couple of weeks after the fight. So, you know, I got a few more good years, but I look after my body physically, mentally, and, you know, this is going to be a long journey. You know, there'll be a lot of time to enjoy. But for now, I'm here building legacy. I'm here building history. And I'm here. I've got Australia on my back, Greece on my back. And, you know, here we are, the face of Australian boxing. Probably the face of Australian sport right now.
Absolutely.
And I can't wait to have my whole country behind me June 5th. We are going to war. This is a battle. And I'm your emperor.
You pump me up, mate. Yeah. You pump me
absolutely.
Up.
100%. Absolutely. Well, mate, thank you so much for taking the time to have a chat with us. Good luck on June 5th. Can't wait to watch you do the damn thing. And, all the best.
I really appreciate luck, it, mate. Guys. And Cheers. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, Australia, Greece, all my fans' support, you know, your champion will continue to reign on the throne.
Love it.
Love to it. Hear it. Thanks, thank you, mate.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. Beautiful.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.